Hi, I'm Graham Lasso, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat with Chris, Craig, and Brady.
Welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat pod. The headline this week: lifeless Chelsea draw a blank against Arsenal. Today I am joined by my brother Craig and our good friend Brady. Guys, how are we feeling? Have you woken up from Sunday snooze fest?
Just about, I think. Probably one of the most dull games you'd ever watch. And yeah, I guess trying to unpack it a bit.
I mean, I've been ill, so I was just sipping then sip, watching the game. It was a tale of woe, really. It was not fun, to be honest. And very weird kickoff time, 1:30 because of the League Cup final. It was an odd one, very odd, and nothing really happened. It's just like it was 20 minutes had gone by and the final whistle went. It was a very odd game, but anyway, we'll break it down.
Yeah, let's look at the key stats from the game. So obviously Arsenal ran out winners, 1-0, a goal from Marino from a corner. 0.7 expected goals for Arsenal, 0.4 expected goals for Chelsea. Just a note on that, expected goals for Arsenal, that's the lowest in the entire season for them at home. Only equal to when they played Paris at home in the Champions League. Possession, 42% for Arsenal, 58% for Chelsea. 85% pass accuracy for Chelsea. 2 shots on target out of 8. And 3 saves out of 4 for Robbie Sanchez. Let's get straight into likes and dislikes. I'll come to you first, Craig. Where would you want to start?
I mean, we'll start with the dislikes because we'll end with, I guess, the positives. The dislikes for me is just the atmosphere around the end game for us is just not anywhere near what it needs to be in terms of urgency. I think we've sort of fluctuated on this a bit this season. We started off the end of game sort of frizzled out. Is that a
fizzled?
fizzled out. And yeah, this game is an exact, that description is perfectly apt. This game sort of fizzled out into nothing. You know, we're only 1-0 down. I said at halftime, I said, if we can get Lavia on and we're still only 1-0 down, we'll have a chance to get back in the game. But yeah, no sort of urgency at the end of the game to get a goal. I think this is sort of a theme as well when Pep has played Arteta, and obviously Maresca coming from the same tree, playing Arteta, very dull, low XG games that are mostly played in the centre of the pitch. And this was another one, very strange game, where both teams seem very content with sort of achieving their footballing goals, but not actually achieving any actual goals. And yeah, obviously Arsenal got the win with a set-piece goal. Some very poor defending and setup of defending, to be honest, from us. But yeah, just the game overall, just the lack of urgency is my massive dislike.
What do you think, Brady?
I agree. I mean, we kind of pitter-pattered our way to 0.3 XG. I think the only time my heart rate went above 60 in the game was when Raya spilled Kukurea's shot and then it went past the post and it was at resting heart rate of 45. I mean, there was nothing going on. And it was just very safe and predictable. And what I didn't like was our players seemed too comfortable within that. They seemed like, oh, okay, you know, it was a training session that we were losing and we were just sort of playing our part in it, and then the final whistle went. And it was supposed to be a massive game. So it wasn't good to watch. It was very odd. I was really irate first half because I thought first half was really bad. I mean, even Maresca said it was bad. Because he said after the game, you know, he said it was even game and tight and didn't really comment. He didn't want to dig the players out too much. But we'll talk about players and attempts. But no urgency, no aggressiveness, no kind of risk taking in the game when you're 1-0 down. It was very odd. And I agree with everything Craig said there. Yeah, like just comfortable. All the, you know, Arteta, like Craig said, can kind of stink a game out. He can kill a game. But to kill a game after, when did they go up? They went up in, what's it, 10th minute? 15th minute? Whatever it was.
It was the 20th minute they scored.
20th minute. To kill the game after 20 minutes was quite a feat. But that's basically what he did. And, it was a poor watch.
Yeah. I guess my dislike is the fact that we conceded from a corner, which we know is a strength of Arsenal. They're very, very strong at set pieces. But I think if you're going into the game against Arsenal, I think that's one area you can really study and try and do a strong job on them, because you know it's how they've kind of really pushed forward in games to give them that step up to them play more open football and put teams away. So to allow them to score so early as well, 20 minutes in, like you said, to a corner is pretty poor. I think if you want to play against Arsenal, you kind of want them to try and get you in open play, and you know you kind of concede a goal like that and you put your hands up maybe, but it's just a bit of an easy one for them in the end, isn't it? And it didn't really feel like it was well defended, like Craig said. Lots of gaps, no one on the line.
Also, just Nkunku defending the near post is obviously just horrendous.
Yeah,
strategically anyway. Now, if you came into the game and you were like, you know, Arsenal whipping in corners, they either go near post or far post. They never put it in the middle of the goal. It's either near or far post. And you told me Christopher Nkunku's in charge of defending the near post, I'd say, well, there's a pretty good chance they're going to score a goal from the near post corner then.
Because
he's making no effort to actually head the ball, you know.
I mean, it was an unlucky goal in the sense where he didn't mean to put it in, I think. I think he just meant to flick it into an area and it flew in. But yeah, the defending wasn't good enough. And yeah, I think it was
very similar to a goal Kai Havertz scored for us against Liverpool.
Yeah, I remember that. I mean, I think he ran around the corner flag, didn't he, Mourinho? I think they were, actually, I'm not sure how long, because obviously I don't really follow Arsenal stats, but I think it was the first time they scored from a set piece in ages as well. So charity Chelsea were back. You know, when you need a set piece goal, we'll roll up. So,
only you gave away 5 corners in the match. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's got to be just really disappointing to concede.
And you're right, as poor as we were in attack, and I was disappointed as I was with the nature of the game, they only got 0.71 XG. And in open play, they did. I mean, both teams were knocking down the door with a lollipop, like I said, just a slightly bigger lollipop for Arsenal. In the second half, they literally, I remember any open goal threat, really. I mean, I thought that one save by Sanchez, that was a good save. But other than that, for Mourinho, other than that, there was nothing really. So,
how did it compare to the Graham Potter game?
What, the which one?
The one where we lost 1-0 to a corner as well.
Oh, what, the one on the bridge?
It was a very similar kind of vibe where they had.
I mean, we were absolutely pathetic in that game, but probably more so than this. But I guess, yeah. I mean, obviously with it being a home game for Chelsea, we played Arsenal at home already this season. I thought we played really well in that game. You know, obviously the away game, completely different. What you'd expect from the team as well. You know, there's a reason we were massive underdogs away at Arsenal yesterday, but you know, only small underdogs at home to them is quite a big difference. In home and away.
All right, let's go on to some likes.
The likes for me is that after the international break, we will probably get Cole Palmer, Noni Madueke, and Nicholas Jackson back for the game against Tottenham. That is my like. Sorry, I mean,
game's finished.
What I like about the game is that the future is coming.
Yeah, we did show a bit of fight in this game, but we did show fight but sometimes it felt a bit hollow where they were just being a bit petty. Chelsea, they're a young team, and it's almost like they sort of pretend to be hard and get in, like, you know, be like a sort of like have some steel, and they just sort of, I don't believe it, if that makes sense. Like they did stand up to Arsenal.
Who are you referring to there?
A few players, to be honest, quite a few, where they're a bit petty. They leave their foot in rather than, like, you know, like a John Terry leaving one on someone and then saying to them, you know, a real message. It's just a little bit of like, I'll kick you now. I mean, I think Enzo Fernandez won for that. he'll kind of just shout at players and shout at players run on the floor and then give a little kick. I don't really think he's like intimidating by opponents, to be honest. I think he's just like a yellow card and maybe a red card for it sometimes. I think there's a few examples of that where, not Colwell's not bad, but there's a few where you just think, it's not really helping us doing that. And sometimes they end up just sort of making themselves really angry and wound up. And like, you know, and then 10 minutes, 15 minutes gone by and we're still 1-0 down. And the game was very, Arsenal love games like that, where it's bitty and ugly. And in a way, maybe we need to make the game a bit more flow and football and things like that. But we do show some fight, so I'll give him a bit of a look.
We're not a very savvy team, are we, really?
No.
Like, you know, the players, a lot of them, yeah. I'd agree, some of it's for show. I mean, Fofana is the key man for that. Surprised you didn't really mention him. Also, Neto cut a very frustrated figure in the game, you know, throwing his hands up, didn't like a lot of the decisions his team were making, flailing around, you know, obviously working really hard as well himself. Yeah, it's just sort of... He cut a very frustrated figure in the game, and yeah, it's not a great look. I was even if you look at obviously Newcastle won a cup final yesterday, but if you look at the what I would say about the camaraderie that Eddie Howe's produced at Liverpool in terms of, you know, at the end of that game, and you know, again, I'm not comparing really a cup final to the game yesterday because that would be an unfair comparison, but they were fighting for every throw-in, celebrating the fact that they were blocking a ball out for a throw-in. You know, the game meant so, so much to the players, and you can feel it as a fan. And quite often, you know, when you get a bad result, like, you know, losing 1-0 to Arsenal, you know, it's not a bad result. It's not, you know, the worst result ever. You know, we're not looking at that being, you know, we're going to blame the season on that. Very possible when the season started that we would lose Arsenal away. It's more about, do you want to show that you fight and you care about the club and that it means something to you? And in the last 10 minutes, you're fighting tooth and nail to get that equaliser. And yeah, you just don't get that opinion or impression from the players.
I'd rather than driving forward with the ball rather than just like leaving one on them, like on the touchline. It's just silly. It's like they've also, I thought that they've been looking at teams going, oh yeah, that's how like a kind of a Simeone Atletico Madrid team, that's how they do it, so that's how we're going to do it. It doesn't feel natural, it feels forced, like you said, with a lot of the players, and we need some real bite in our team. You know, and Reece James is, you know, he's developing as a leader, but even he was a bit flat, and so yeah, it was a tough one.
He had a pretty average game, Reece James. I wonder, what are your guys' thoughts on Reece James in centre mid?
Well, I think it's a problem because, you know, Thomas Tuchel's picked him at right back, hasn't he? Probably. I don't think he'll be playing in midfield. Maybe he will. I think it's just trying to keep him fit. And I think, in general, Reece James, it is good that he's back, but he's not the dynamic. He's not the Reece James you want back, right? He's kind of just, he's there, he's doing okay, he's scored a couple of goals, but he's not captain fantastic, is he? Let's be honest. What do you think?
Well, he's not playing that far forward, is he? I think the days, when I watched him in pre-season, because he did play there in pre-season, let's not forget, he played inverted on the right, and I said at the time, I don't think he's suited to this. I don't think he's particularly great in midfield. I think he's learning the role. And we had that with Gusto, but I never thought he was going to be good in the role. The one thing I'd say about Reece James is he could be good in the role because he has really great progressive passing.
Yeah.
That's the only upside to him in terms of him getting better in the role. But I mean, if everyone's
he's not busy
fit,
enough for me in midfield to play midfield. He's not a busy enough player. That's not his game, really, you know, to be that sort of, when you think about Caicedo, Lavia, you know, he's playing that role, right, for us right now. He's not that type of player.
Yeah, if everyone's fit, he's not the best. He's not the best midfielder, so I wouldn't start him there.
Yeah, I just find it a bit strange that Maresca has moved him from that right centre. I think, you know, it's not the best use of him, but I think right centre back in a three where he plays right back, and then when we build up, he plays right centre back. That suits him, you know, fine. Yeah. He gets a lot of the ball, especially in home games against sort of weaker opposition. He gets a lot of the ball in good areas in that position when he plays that role. So you know, I find it a bit strange what's going on with Reece James at the moment with the positioning. You know, I'm not a massive fan of him playing only centre.
I mean, apparently Maresca sent him a video, didn't he, from day one and went, this is where I want you to play, so...
I think he's a really good attacker. I really don't know why he's stuck at the back. So I mean, it's really hampering us going forward.
I think he'd be better than Enzo at 10. That's what I honestly think.
I don't know how he whipped a cross in from like the byline. I don't remember. It's like last season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not fussed about that.
Forest
like,
away.
You know, we're not going to play. Not fussed
about it. I mean, he's one of the best crossers in the world from that position, I think. But anyway.
But I think he can get in those areas from right back.
He's not even getting in underlapping positions where he can cross from 40 yards out, kind of whipping it in.
I think he is. He is, you know, at home, we've seen him in sort of 22 yards out on the right hand side. What I'd say is I'd like to see him a bit more direct. He seems, I think we've got, if we consider that, someone was telling to me the other day, do you remember when Loftus-Cheek got injured and came back and he had the handbrake on? I just think we've got this handbraked Reece James who's a bit scared to do anything, and it's going to take maybe some time for him to get back to it because he's just playing like he doesn't want to get injured.
Yeah, which is definitely...
I mean, obviously this is the longest he's been fit for 2 years in a row. So it's obviously there is a balance between those two things, I guess.
If he played this way for 38 games, is it even, this sounds bad, but is it even worth it in being fit in terms of that in that position? Because he isn't elite at the moment. Like he's
still learning a new role. I think yes is the answer to that, if you could guarantee that.
Again, I've said before, I don't think it's great that we've got players learning new roles that, you know, at the sharp end of the season. I mean, this should have been done a long, long time ago.
Well, he couldn't, could he? He's been injured for so long.
Yeah, I understand that, but maybe just try it in next pre-season then.
I think I don't think he'd play there when everyone's fit. I'd be surprised if he chose him over Lavia.
I'll say this. If Reece James is going to go into midfield, we need to buy a right-back because we look weak.
Well, I think the point is we're not going to play any like conventional right-back. I think Ansel Mino and...
Fofana,
and we've also got one other player that I'm blanking on, Achimpong. They can all play there, sort of that right centre back, right back hybrid.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see how that gets on. Did you ever like Brady?
I just don't like the fight.
I'll go along with that. I mean, there wasn't much to like from this one, was there? Let's talk about the players. Let's do the temps.
Time to see whose form's on top, who's heating up, whose temperature's dropped, who's been playing well and who's not. It's freezing, warming up, boiling hot.
Okay, we've got probably a busy freezer. So, Craig, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I'm obviously there's a lot of low-hanging fruit in this game in terms of Freezer, but I'll pick on Benoit Badiashile, who some people think had an okay game. He's supposed to be, so when you talk about Badiashile, you'd probably say, you know, he's not a great defender. He's okay, but one of the things you get with him is his progressive passing. That's I think what a lot of people say is a big, you know, plus for Badiashile. I could do a comp of that first half of him passing the ball. It's absolutely dreadful. And not only that, it leaves us in so much trouble. Basically, 90% of the chances Arsenal created in the game, in the whole game from open play, were just Badiashile giving the ball away from in build-up. The reliance on him to find progressive passing in this setup, the way he plays, he's not up to it at all. He really isn't. And, you know, there was a time as well, Martinelli just skinned him, embarrassing, just ran straight past him in the first half. He's terrible. And unfortunately, he barely plays for us in the Premier League, which is fine. It's great. But the games he does play, he always seems to start against Arsenal. Always Arsenal away, there he is, in the centre of our defence, giving away goals, giving away chances, giving away whatever. The rumour is, as well, that De Zerzi is going to go and we're going to keep Badiashile next season. He is absolutely horrendous. He is honestly horrendous player. And yeah, I've had enough of watching him play.
I've heard this before on the pod, I feel like.
Yeah, bad man. Fitting the bad in Badia Shield. I mean, he isn't good, is he? But he's trying, bless him. He is trying.
17 passes into the final third. You do the math. That's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Yeah, you give 15 away. Yeah, exactly. It stands out, but then you haven't seen that. You could list that, and you'd be like, "Oh wow, maybe he's good at passing." But then what's not mentioned is the giveaways as well. The nine giveaways in key areas of the game that you're just ignoring. Eight, sorry, that you're just ignoring that give away like incredible chances where they're 4-on-4. Like the risk reward is horrendous. And yeah, this is the problem. That'll pop up on some model, and some analyst or be that's got no clue about football will say, like, oh, look, this guy, if he moved to a top club and doesn't have to do much defending, he might be all right. You know, he's got the eye for a progressive pass. And it's like, no, this is how you end up, you know, with a terrible centre-back playing for you. And yeah, 23 years old, you know, oh, he's got potential. He can grow. Like, please. He has no chance of being a top player, Badia Shield. No chance.
You heard it first. An ESCR exclusive. Badia Shield, you, mate, you're rubbish.
He's worse than rubbish. No.
Didn't you have to send an apology to Badia Shield after this happened before, and then he was good again?
You made me send an apology to him after you had like a couple of good games in a row. And now, what are you saying? Is he any good?
He doesn't really play, does he?
Is he good?
I don't think he's as bad as you think he is, but no, I don't think he's great. No, I don't think any of our centre backs are that great. But no, he is one of the worst ones, yeah. I think I'll give him a disaster, though. I think that's fine.
I think when we played that Wolves away game and he was like, I mean, that was the end point for me. When he didn't even like dive to save the shot, yeah, when he passed it to that guy.
Yeah, he has got a bit of his demeanour's a bit odd sometimes, where he snaps between being looking quite lethargic to kind of overly aggressive. Sorry, he's kind of...
He had that one good game, didn't he, where he got like mad about something and then he was just like insane.
Yeah.
When you talk to me about like fake tough guys, like that is exactly what he comes across as. When the ball's in the air and there's a header to be won, he'll be, you know,
say what, mate?
Glued to the floor. But if someone annoys him, he's right in their face, you know, getting a yellow card for nothing. He is, I don't know.
Maybe Modric can slip him some enhancement drugs or something.
Mm.
Getting going.
Well,
Brady, who have you got?
Mine is another player who I don't. Craig has kind of lambasted a player, and I'm just going to absolutely steam into a player here because I've absolutely had enough. It's Jadon Sancho.
Yes.
I mean, that goal against Spurs, he must have bought it from FIFA credit or something points. I mean, where did that goal come from? I mean, how did he score that goal in the middle of the season he's having? I mean, I shared a stat from X where he had a shot on target against Copenhagen the game before this, the home game. It was his first shot on target since Boxing Day. I mean, that is unbelievable.
That's bad. I mean, that's crazy bad.
Pop your head around that. I think that's like 500 minutes. First shot on target. I mean, not blocked, nothing. I mean, he has... Not even, I mean, it's a chopper, but it's like the lollipop. I don't know, he's trying to break down the door with a feather. I mean, he has got zero goal for it. And his assist for it, you know, it's dwindling. And he's not a talent. And the thing with Jadon Sancho is, he did something in this game where he was surrounded by three players on the byline, and he kind of skinned a couple of drag backs, and then he pops it away. So in like completely useless scenarios, he's really effective. But if you when you need him in terms of like, you know, putting a good cross in, a good shot, a good link up near the box, he's nowhere to be seen. And he just seems to just start quite well in games, and then completely just sort of just die off. And I think that talks about his fitness. He doesn't look the fittest, to be honest. I mean, I'm not going to say what I think, but he doesn't look very fit to me, to be honest. And
you go, 10 args, mate.
You are the first 10 arg. Well, I mean, there is previous there. He doesn't look fit to me. He doesn't, and I'm not. I want to say he doesn't look motivated, but mentally, he just completely drifts in games. He just hangs on that wing, like the worst parts of Mudryk. He'll just hang on that white line, and he'll just literally do nothing. You just won't see him for half an hour. And every time I watch a game, oh, Sancho's been quiet. I mean, he's a quiet man. He just, yeah, I just think, I know that we have an obligation to buy, and Craig said there might be a way out of it. He's a dangerous player to have because he'll occasionally get a good assist or a good goal and maybe tick along, but he isn't anywhere good enough where we want to go in that left wing spot. We are so weak at left wing, man. And I would much, much, much rather be a Tyree George starting games. So, yeah, talk about fizzling out this game. He's fizzling out. I don't want to say this. His career is probably going to fizzle out because that's the way I think it's going, to be honest. I don't want it to happen at Chelsea and waste our time. That's how I feel. So I don't want him at the club anymore. You can just go to Juventus or whatever, and that would be good for me. So that's my freezer.
Yeah, I think he's been poor, hasn't he?
Yeah, and, he's been really poor.
I just hate his competitiveness in duels. I always go back to that.
I think he's big, but defensively, he's absolutely shocking.
Well, as Craig mentioned about stats, his duel percentage might be quite high because he only goes in for the ones he's going to win. He bottles everything else. He doesn't even turn up for half the duels. He's just watching them, and he's sort of belly dancing.
This is our left, our right winger. One of our, you know, one pass into the final third. No crosses, no shots, one successful dribble, 88% pass accuracy, and all he does is pass backwards. Zero chances created, and one ground duel attempted. Rubbish. It's not even rubbish, it's just nothing. It's not even, he's a bad player. He's like a nothing player. He doesn't do anything. So yeah, it's like I said, I hope it's au revoir, Jaden, because it's been a fun little, you know, hype Instagram, oh yeah, he's a good, like, hype player, but bye bye. And I don't know if we're going to get rid of him, but I don't want him in the club next season.
I don't think no one was hyped about him, were they?
He's a bit, I don't know how to describe him, he's a bit of a, you know.
I think even Chris, who really loved Sancho a couple of years ago, thought really highly rated him. I don't think even he was hyped about him coming, were you, Chris?
I think they're going to keep him for the homegrown, but no, I don't. I think the thing about especially about Sancho is just sort of like he'll always be as good as the team is. Team's rubbish, he'll be rubbish. So, you know, when Chelsea turn up and they're not going to get a lot of the ball in good areas, and you're expecting him to kind of get the ball quite deep on the pitch and turn and do something, I think you're just wasting your time. It's not.
Do you know what I mean?
It's not like
about
Germany where there's just like green grass everywhere and you can just run forward and no one's going to press you. It's like, it's not like that. So,
do you know what I knew about Sancho at Anfield? Because Maresca actually set us up really well at Anfield. Well, he exposed our wingers against their fullbacks. And Madueke really gave Robertson a good go. And I think it was Trent on that side. And he was awful, Sancho. So negative, not aggressive. And that's when I knew he's not good enough. And then he scores that Spurs goal and you think, wow, maybe there's a player there. But no, he's not. He's not a player. So, I just want to get rid of him. You think we're going to probably keep him for the home?
I reckon because he's English. Yeah, I think they'll keep him. But see,
he says it's just dangerous because they'll just eat up minutes where we don't want. He isn't even good. I don't think he's even good enough for backup. Honestly,
I don't think Tyreek George is going to be here next season. I think he'll be loaned out, won't he?
Yeah, maybe. But I don't think he's even good enough to be a backup left wing. I don't think he's any good at all. I think he should be playing for like, I don't know, Genoa or something. Just playing for like Serie A.
Genoa catching strays on this pod.
just a mid-table Serie A or the leading team would suit him well.
Genoa? Never heard anything like it.
It's a promo with Fer Fabregas. He'll love that.
Let's not abuse Como. Yeah, their top team. Top manager.
What?
Right, in the freezer for me, I probably was actually going to go for Sancho just because he winces out of stuff, but I'll go for Nkunku because he's pretty much cut from the same cloth. I think there are a couple of twins up there. He just... Does he ever want to do anything? Nkunku, like, when he gets the ball, does he ever just think, oh, today, this is the moment I'm going to turn and we're going to... I'm going to be the talisman to take us forward, or he just... Nah, I'll just dump it back off and jog back up. That's job done. Possession retained. Complete waste of time. Him and Sancho, I think if you're going to play a game with those two in a top against a top team, I think you're sort of... I don't think
you're going to get what we got.
That's exactly how the game was going to go. I think if we turned up with the same team, we had Madueke and Mudryk on the wings, I actually think we would have done a lot better.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
And that's where we are with Nkunku and Sancho.
But Brady, you were very high on Nkunku a couple of months ago before he got all these minutes. You're saying, well, I can't understand why Maresca's not giving him more minutes, blah, blah, blah. What are you saying now? You've seen him play eight starts in a row. You know,
I've got two opinions on it. I think since he's come in, I think he's been very disappointing. I think he's... I've always advocated him to not play in the nine, and he's had a lot of minutes now in the non-nine position. And he has been disappointing. And
they've even put Cucurella out wide now, which looked awful yesterday again, like Cucurella providing the width from so that he can play central. So it ruins the structure of the team as well.
I think he's been disappointing. I do think that him being put in the B team and didn't help his kind of, like, I guess, progression as a Chelsea player. But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he was always going to be this ineffective. I don't know. Maybe I've just misread the player a bit and he isn't suited to the Premier League or whatever. But he has got a lot of tendency, well, he has had in the past, to score goals and assist and be a bit of a killer near the goal. But we're just not seeing it at all. And the problem that Nkunku has is Palmer absolutely hates him. Like, every time Palmer's on the ball, he refuses to pass to him. And
maybe that was a sign.
And it's like tangible.
But he wasn't playing on Sunday, so I don't know who's to blame there.
I think I'm not blaming Palmer.
I'm just saying that Palmer is the big dog. And I think in that dressing room, I think there's a little clique of like Madueke, Palmer, Jackson. They're the three, I think. But they're the, you know, they're obviously all out on Sunday. But they're the three who... That's why he misses his mates, Jackson. You know, he misses Madueke and Jackson. And he just doesn't like Nkunku. When you've got your best player, it's like kind of like Hazard not passing to Loftus-Cheek or whatever the example is. But Hazard not passing to Pedro or William, whatever. But like, he just doesn't involve him in attacks. And the thing with Nkunku is he can make good runs off the ball. He often goes for the 1-2 where he'll put someone in and they'll make a run and people just don't spot him. And maybe I do feel sorry for him a bit in that sense. But on the ball, he's way too safe. He hasn't really got the pace to like beat a man on the left that much.
Yes. I think he could. I've never seen him try.
Exactly. I don't see him ever try it, but I think he could take a man.
He said no attempted take-ons in this game.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, it's crazy.
He's not really he's not a left winger. He's more of a left 10, but it's...
Even
if he's playing out of position or whatever, like, you can still take it. You can still try and beat a man, can't you?
I tell you what, I've seen Enzo Fernandez try and run past people, and he's slow as hell.
I think
Nkunku doesn't even bother. I mean, surely that tells you that
his laziness is maybe just his confidence is absolute zero. I think. I think you have to cut sometimes. I'm not saying that you improve or I'm defending the player, but I don't think he's always that lazy. Like, he hasn't... recently, I have seen him chasing back and trying to hurry a bit more. But
four tackles in this match.
Yeah, he is trying to try more and, like, hustle a bit more. But
I don't think it's all effort. I mean, he is very, very bad at pressing. Not just the effort of it, the actual skill of it. You know, like, he always gets beaten and he never tackles the guy.
Like, he's attacking, I don't know how to call it, like, his mojo or whatever you want to call it, that you saw at Leipzig. And I've seen loads of clips of him at Leipzig where he was so good. And, like, look, it's differently.
Like, Timo Werner was good at Leipzig.
Yeah, maybe, but, like, Yeah, I don't know. He just
his best position in Kunku, I think I figured out, is goal hanger, and I think that's where he's going to be effective, because there's no way he can play in any team and not be just hanging around at the goal, because he can't play anywhere else, basically.
Yeah, we can't play striker because he doesn't make enough runs. He's too lazy to make enough runs, and he's too lazy to press. And then he can't really play 10 for sort of a similar reason.
I've said against us before, I think he probably will leave in the summer. And it's probably best for both parties, I think, probably.
Yeah, I think so.
It's definitely best for us.
I mean, yeah, he's not even... Well,
I'm telling you, man, he'll go somewhere else and he'll do well.
I agree.
Honestly, people are scared of him going to United. Send him to United. Honestly, he will not do well there.
It's hard to look bad in a Bayern team, but he'll go to Bayern and he'd be really good. But
sure. Like, if he goes to, like, I mean, who doesn't look good for Bayern? Yeah. Have they ever had a failure of a signing? I mean, they just are dominating every game, aren't they? Yeah, I mean, that though is a perfect role for Nkunku, where he doesn't have to do anything off the ball, basically. And yeah, he'll be in and around the box, and he'll get a chance to put a couple of chances in, you know, like high XG chances. That's a great role for him, yeah. But I mean, that's a great role for any attacker, isn't it?
Right, let's move on to more freezers. Have we got anyone else for this?
Before we slate like more players, can we just give a shout out to Caicedo? Because
always.
He was absolutely brilliant in this game. He works so hard. He covers the ground of two players. And I know this is a bit premature, but like, I think when all's said and done with Moises Caicedo, we're going to look back on him. As long as we get the team together and the trophies around him, the trophies in the cabinet, we're going to look back on Caicedo's career more fondly than we looked on Kante's and Makélélé's. Well, especially Kante.
Nah.
I think when all's said and done, look, he's 23.
Nah.
Kante didn't come to us until he was much older than this. He's 23 years old. And
big gift for the trophies, though, Craig.
I actually think he won't get the trophies.
He's our best
the other
player
two
every game. And I know Kante was our best player in a lot of games as well, but Hazard was obviously playing in that team as well. But like, Caicedo is literally our best player in every game. It's absolutely unbelievable watching him.
Yeah, and I think I do think he's really good. I do think you're maybe misremembering how good Kante was. But yeah,
I'm not, because I was a massive Kante fan. I'm just saying, I think he's not going to get there, he's in that category of player.
Yeah, for sure. I'd like to see him do more. I'd like to give him more freedom. And I think when Lavia gets in there, I think you're going to see another level to him, to be honest with you.
I was thinking when I was watching the game, and you know, everyone's pressing, and obviously, you know, we've got a few bad presses in the lineup or whatever, but he's like he's playing the game on a different gear. Like, you know, the playback speeds on YouTube, you know, he's playing at 1.25x compared to everyone else. You know, he looks like a different level.
Enzo Fernandez, you probably look like
if he's 1.25, what's in Nkunku?
0.25, I guess.
What's Sancho? Blimey.
Similar.
So, yeah, let's give Caicedo every game. I think he's player of the year so far still. Any other shout-outs in this game? Obviously, we've had a go on Big Ben, Jaden, and Christo.
I thought Colwell did really well aerially. I thought they played a lot of balls up to Mourinho. I thought he did really well competing aerially. I think one of the weaknesses we've seen from this team in the past is those long balls causes problems, and we've got a good pressing structure, but then, you know, City, for example, played that long ball to Haaland, and the game after that Brighton did the same, right, long ball over the top to Matoma. I thought we've handled the long balls like pretty poorly in general, but it does seem like Colwell in this game, when they tried to play up to Mourinho, he actually did really well and competed well aerially, won some headers, actually directed them to our players, some of them as well, which was nice, so that we could win second balls. And yeah, I thought he had a decent game. I thought it was one of his better games, actually, for us.
No one else for me. I mean, I did enjoy Enzo Fernandez basically being a false nine at times. That was painful to watch. Where he was like running through, and it was like
Christ, it was like
Jorginho versus like Saliba trying to go through, and it was like you get that little moment where you're like, oh, he's in, oh, it's Fernandez. It was like
he had one moment actually where he was sort of one on one, and he could have maybe chipped Raya, but then he let it bounce, and then he did sort of one of the most pathetic volleys you've ever seen. Absolutely, had no chance of going in.
It was poor to watch, and yeah, I don't know. I mean, I might have just. You could have actually just took off Fernandez, or he could have took off his defender. He could have took off Badiashile, put Fofana to centre back, and then restrained back to right back, and then put another attacker on. But he didn't fancy doing that. So I don't know.
All right. There's nothing more. I mean, last thing I can say on the players is obviously really good to see Lavia back out. Got 9 minutes, but. It's some sort of positive towards, obviously, the last 8 games that we've got. And
he'll be called up by Belgium to play 3 games for them. No, I'm joking. I don't know if he is.
Yeah, we need to keep
him. 390 minutes coming up for Romeo Lavia.
If we can get Lavia out for half the game against Tottenham, I think that'd be huge.
I think there's a good chance Lavia starts against Spurs, as long as he does no setbacks, obviously. I don't actually know whether he... has been called up by Belgium. I assume he hasn't, but
he was getting dropped though. Mr. Fernandez.
No.
I think we might play Caicedo right back against.
And then Fofana, Cole.
That worked really well against them before, didn't it?
And then, well, then Reece James won't get a game.
No.
Yeah, I don't think he necessarily Reece James would start that if we're going to play that inverted. Role. I just think from when it worked really well against Spurs before, I think
we have to look back at the last time we had a position where we could play that, and that was Aston Villa at home, wasn't it? Where we won 3-0, and I thought we were excellent that day, and that was the team with Caicedo at right back, wasn't it? So yeah, we'll see if we can get there again. Right, let's talk about some predictions, because we do have 8 games to go. But when there were 12 games to go, I got everyone to do a prediction of what the result.
There's 9 games, mate, by the way.
Is it 9?
Yeah.
That's 9 games. Apologies.
Trying to get the season over with.
Okay, well, when there was 12 games to go.
Yeah.
I got everyone to do a quick prediction of what we thought the results were going to be, and how many points we were going to end up on. Do you want to guess who thought we'd end up with the most points?
Probably me, yeah, I guess.
Craig, yeah, just 66 points you had us finishing on.
I think we were all pretty similar, weren't we?
Brady had 65.
Did I?
Blimey. And I had us on 62.
I've actually revised one of mine, but we could talk about that.
There's no changing. So far, me and Craig have got top marks, so 3 out of 3. So Southampton, Leicester, Arsenal. We had Southampton to win, Leicester. We were going to beat Southampton, beat Leicester, and lose to Arsenal. Me and Craig had that. Brady, you were a bit more ambitious. You thought we'd draw against Arsenal. How do you feel?
What an idiot.
It's not what you were saying before the game on Sunday, that's for sure.
Yeah, very optimistic.
I knew it'd be a decent time to play him. I thought it was quite a good time to get a point there, but I mean...
It didn't help
Palmer get injured, did it? Let's be honest.
No. Projected points if we were to win the rest of our games is 76 points, which obviously is
it's always good
probably
to know.
Not going to happen. In terms of the Spurs game, I've got us down to win. Brady has us down to win, but Craig has gone against the grain and he's got down as a draw. Ooh. How are we feeling about that, Craig?
Yeah, I think we definitely can win, but it wouldn't shock me to see a draw in that game. Not
You've also gone for a loss in the next game as well to Brentford after that.
How have I ended up with the most points?
You've got us winning a lot of the remaining games.
What have you got?
I must have known the injuries, you know, they're all coming back.
What have you got as Brentford, Chris?
I've got, so me and you got the same result. We got a draw.
Yeah.
Ipswich is the next game. I've got a win. Brady's got a win. Craig's got a win. Fulham away. Me and Brady have gone for a draw. Craig's gone for a win.
See, I was actually going to revise this. I think we're going to lose that game.
So, no revising.
All right, fine.
Everton at home, I've got a draw. Craig and Brady have got wins. Well, we've all got us to lose at Anfield.
We're in big trouble, big trouble.
At home to Liverpool, we are.
At home to Liverpool, we've all got us down to lose, except for Craig, who's gone for a draw.
Now, you think about that now.
I think that's looking better, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that was before the league was done, right? So
it's before the league was done, but the league was done already back then. Just you have done foresight, you know.
I don't think it was done. Now it's like, you know. So
I think one of the reasons I put draw was that there was a good chance that Liverpool wouldn't need to win.
They will be on the beach / beers at that point. So
we don't know yet because obviously.
Well, that's the fourth game to the end of the season, and
they got nothing else. They got no other competitions.
I think they can mathematically be safe by then.
I think we can certainly get a draw in that game.
So that's Liverpool at home at the Bridge. Next one's Newcastle away. I've got a loss. Craig's got a loss. Brady going for a draw.
I actually think Newcastle. I know they just won a cup. They're very
it's a terrible matchup for us. Newcastle.
They're very topsy turvy though.
A bunch of wet lettuces going up there to get pushed around. They'll need to win as well. I can't see any other result.
I actually think we could outplay them pretty easily. I don't think they're a good footballing team.
Look at what Bournemouth did to them.
You can just pass it around them. They're just running around.
Someone should have told Arne Slot you could just pass it around them.
Well, that's not their game, is it? They turn into some sort of defensive counter-attacking team randomly.
The thing with Newcastle is that they might now they've won the cup. They might just be on this like huge euphoria drive and actually just really, really try and go for it for top four, top five. So
I think they might be drained after that. I think that's kind of their cup final done, and I think they'll just sort of wash away now.
Let's see.
United, we've all gone for a win at home to United.
That'll be the one where we draw. Classic.
That will be the one, yeah. And then Forest away, last game of the season. Me and Brady have gone for a draw, and Craig has gone for a famous win.
Oh my God!
To back up last season's result. So yeah,
beat him away last season. We'll beat him again if we need to on that Sunday.
Exactly. So yeah, 66 points for Craig, 65 for Brady, 62 for me. We will see where we end up in the predictions league.
So basically, it's like Chris thinks we're going to get one less than last season. I think we're going to get two more, and Craig thinks we're going to get three more. Brilliant.
Craig's got us on Lampard's points total.
I will say, do you know our points per game since the Everton away game? Do you know how many points we've got in the last 13 games? So since the Everton away game, which was wherever it was, December 22nd or something, how many points do you think we've got from 13 games in the league?
One.
One.
Yeah,
1.1
or something.
Yeah, well, no, like as in actual points, like from the.
Total points?
Yeah, total points, yeah.
Oh, criminy. Not a lot, probably about 8.
Well, from 13 games.
13.
We lost a lot.
It's more than that.
Is it?
Yeah, of course, a lot more.
We played all a few of the bottom teams, didn't we? I reckon we got 11.
No. Craig?
15.
15 points. So, I think whether Chelsea make top five is really dependent on which Chelsea they kind of want to be. Because at the moment, I think we're only really fourth because of our earlier season form. If we continue in the vein that we have been, and we're getting barely a point a game, we'd probably struggle to make 60 points, and I don't think we're going to be getting anywhere. So they've got to decide who they are. They've got to decide whether they're going to be Chelsea of the autumn or Chelsea of the winter, and that's it, really. They've got to turn themselves back into that dynamic 1.5, 1.8 2 points a game team, because if they don't, they won't get top five. Simple. Because there's too many other teams in there competing. We have to wait and see whether they turn up. That's the way I see it.
Winter's coming.
Winter's come already, mate. We need spring.
Yeah.
Winter's come, mate.
All right. Well, look, we've got Spurs up next, which is obviously a huge, probably the biggest game of the season so far. Because it's going to probably dictate what happens for the rest of the last nine games, as you said.
So
we'll see what the mentality is. Obviously, that's a Thursday night game as well.
Must
under
win.
The lights. Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
I think the atmosphere
already.
Will be good. At least.
For sure, the atmosphere.
So is it FA Cup the weekend that everyone's back, is it? And then it's the league during the week, must be.
Yeah. So, but we're playing on the Thursday, and then we're also playing on the Sunday when we go to Brentford.
Well, that Brentford away game sounds terrible already.
We're then.
Well, I think you guys have both gone for wins in that, haven't you?
No, draws.
We're also back to three games a week because obviously we've got the Legia Warsaw Conference League two legs after that as well. So it's going to be nip and tuck.
Two Legias, you could say. No?
I should pay to have you on here.
Hey.
Right. I think that's all we've got time for today. Fantastic work,
guys. We slept out of that pod so long after the Arsenal game, lads. So we did well. I mean,
yeah.
there wasn't a lot of content to feed off.
Look, thanks very much, guys. Look, difficult game and result, but as is football, there's always another game. So look forward to that.
Yep.
All good, mate.
We will be back with a preview pod for Tottenham Hotspur, which Brady will do, I'm sure. But for more updates on all things the SCR, you can follow us on X at @EatsLeapChelsea and Instagram at @EatsLeapChelseaRepeat. As always, we hope you're carefree wherever you may be. And thanks for listening.